Happy week after Easter, after Resurrection Day. Everybody resurrected here? Yes? New life? Beginning? Yes. Awesome. In the scriptures of the book of John, 8 days after Jesus rose from the dead, he appeared to the disciples. Wow, 8 days later. That would be tomorrow, so don't be surprised if Jesus shows up in your life just exactly when you need him, just exactly when you think all hope is gone, just exactly when you weren't quite sure about this new life thing, because maybe you're not instantaneously different. Are you instantaneously different because you rose from the dead last week? No. Maybe. Who knows? We'll see. What's next? What comes after this resurrected body has a new life? When we're born again, we come out of our tombs, right? Last week, all of us, including Jesus Christ, we know, rose from the dead. And because he rose, we rise. We're resurrected people. We're alive and we live how long? Forever. And while we're living forever, God's love endures forever as well. So you can never be without God's love, God's presence. You can never be alone ever because God is always with you. Always. And because of that, you can have a new life in Christ. Not in you, but in Christ. That's what we're going to talk about today. Acts chapter 1, because we're starting another 40 days, folks. Aren't you excited? 40 days are significant in the Word of God, right? We know Moses spent 40 days up on Mount Sinai getting the Ten Commandments. He came back down. The people had made a golden calf. Back up he went for 40 more days. Had to make the new commandments all over again and help the people start over again. Anybody got a start over again going on in your life sometimes? So here's the thing. 40 days later. He got the commandments, right? Jesus went into the wilderness before his ministry even began. 40 days, 40 nights. He was alone, hungry, only spent time with God. Was tempted by Satan there, defeated Satan by the scriptures. Then he came out of the wilderness, went right to a wedding, and performed his very first miracle. And then the story goes on from there, right? And we know that there were 40 days of the last days of Jesus' life. We call that Lent. Those are the last 40 days that he was alive, still performing miracles, still telling people that he would go to his death, and he was dying for everyone so that they could have eternal life, so that they too could live again, that he would pay for their sins so that they could have eternal life, they meaning you and me and everyone, all humanity. In one day, our sins were forgiven. In one day, we've been forgiven. In one day, everything changed for us and for the rest of all humanity. Isn't it good to be free of that guilt and shame because of what Jesus did on the cross? And then they buried him in the tomb, and 3 days later, he rose from the dead. And he appeared to Mary and Peter and John and all the other disciples in the course of that time. And in the book of Acts, let's read what it says here. In my first book, I told you about everything Jesus began to do and teach until the day he ascended to heaven after giving his chosen apostles further instructions from the Holy Spirit. During the 40 days after his crucifixion, so Jesus was alive for how long? 40 more days. He was in human form and appeared to the disciples from time to time, to the apostles from time to time. There's many, many stories in the scriptures that you'll see where Jesus appeared to the disciples and sometimes one person, two people. And for 40 days, he stayed on earth before he ascended back to heaven. He appeared to the apostles from time to time and proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive. Anybody ever need God to prove himself that he's actually alive if we were to tell the truth? Right? We believe until or when or if or happens. And then Sometimes we unbelieve, if that's such a thing, right? We can doubt, we can fear, life can happen, and we wonder, you know, is everything I believe true about my God? Yes, it is. I'll tell you that right here, right now. So Jesus showed himself to those people so he could prove to them in many various ways. See, how you get God proved to you, it may be different than how God proves himself to me. Or anybody else for that matter. At any given moment throughout our life, we all have an opportunity where God steps in, and you know it could only have been God. Do you know those moments? Right? You know that no person could have done it. Nobody had a plan for it. It certainly wasn't done because a bunch of people plotted and figured things out and made it all hocus pocus dominocus, and it made it happen. You know that, wait a minute, this could only have been God. You know what we call, some people call coincidences. I call God-cidences. When God appears in the midst of a storm, in the midst of a problem, in the midst of your worry, in the midst of your fear, in the midst of your tragedy, in the midst of anything that comes your way on this human planet that we live on, anything can come at any given time, can't it? And God proves himself faithful every single time if you're paying attention. And when you and I take our hands off fixing our own lives. Okay. Oh. A little toe stepping on this morning, am I? We're so self-sufficient so often, right? All of us need God, though. So Jesus appeared to the apostles from time to time and proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive. On these occasions, he talked to them about the kingdom of God. But of course, right? If all of our conversations that we had with people all of the time, unless there was a specific topic that we had to talk about, if we talked about the kingdom of God, God's greatness, God's glory, God's power, God's strength, God's provision, God's unlimited, excessive, and forever love, if we talked about eternal life and us being nothing but love, if that's all we talked about, would we learned about it and we put it into our lives, would we not change? We talked about you have a brand new life in Christ, right? Your new life is not a life of this world, of this earth, of this human self of you. It is your kingdom life. It's you being the son or daughter of the King, the one and only true King who rose from the dead, who defeated death, who forgave us, and who gives us new life. Jesus taught about the kingdom of God, which is not the kingdom of this world. Remember, he went before Pontius Pilate, they said, are you a king? And he said, not of this world. He said that to the Pharisees, too, when they questioned him. Are you saying you're the king? Not of this world. I'm the kingdom of God. If you're going to be part of a kingdom, what kingdom would you want to be a part of? God's kingdom, I might think. God is great and loving and wonderful, right? Peace, joy, all those wonderful things that make up God's character. That's where we're a part of. That's who we are. And that's where we need to keep our focus. Because too often it's about this stuff, right, of the earth. We get so bogged down in that. Be careful of that. That isn't the life that matters. Our life is hid in Christ, and it's a spiritual life that we're to live. So Jesus taught the apostles while he was with them for those 40 days. He taught them about the kingdom of God. So what do you suppose I want you to do for the next 40 days? How about spending some time in the Word of God, in the Scriptures? You can go back over the Gospels and read the red letters that are in there that are Jesus' words. You'll get a different understanding, a deeper understanding of who Jesus and God is. What if you spent time alone and just said, okay, God, teach me. Teach me what it is I am to learn today. And it may be where God speaks it to you. It may be in a lesson that you learn. You know, that guy cuts you off in traffic, and you say, God bless you. God bless you. God, please provide safety for that person and all the other people that crazy driver is trying to, you know, crash into. Protect everybody from them. Oh, and me too, God, while you're at it. Oh, maybe if we just use I. How about what I can do? How I need to change, right? Jesus was talking to the apostles, not about him. He was talking about God, but how they could be more like God. That's all Jesus ever taught, actually, in all of his ministry. In one of these meetings, as he was eating a meal with them, he told them, "Don't leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you what he promised. Remember, I have told you about this before. John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So here's where it goes. We come out of our tomb, right? We're set free because of the blood of Christ, because of what he did for us. We have a new life in Christ. What has to happen next? Baptism of the Holy Spirit. You and I can really do nothing in the flesh, in the human side of us, right? This part of us that's human can't do anything because it's still stuck in the world. But when we make our thoughts and our visions and all of our desires, the kingdom of God and being like God, the power of the Holy Spirit is the one that gives us the ability to do that. So when you're having your prayer time, pray more for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes the Holy Spirit can baptize you in one time and it stays forever, which I believe it does. However, our human self might get in there because we're partially human, partially divine. When you find yourself not following the Holy Spirit, you know, the Holy Spirit tells you to love and forgive and be kind and be generous, all those things. And you can't quite do that, then pray that the Holy Spirit baptizes you with the Spirit of God over the next 40 days. Practice that. Practice sitting in baptism of the Holy Spirit. All you have to do is be in God's presence and the Spirit comes. You feel the Holy Spirit when you're in service here, don't you? Yes? You could feel God here, right? You could feel the Spirit. As we sing praises very often, as you close your eyes and you're just worshiping the Spirit. And you're no longer thinking about anything else but being in God's presence. And it brings you a peace, doesn't it? It brings you joy. Everything's good and safe in God's presence. And everything fades away. So if you'll practice over the next 40 days, even in any given moment that you find yourself a little out of the Spirit, a little out of joint, so to speak. Anybody ever get like that where once, you know, and kind of, oh, okay, good. So I am talking to the right people. You know, things happen, right? We're reactionary. We humans, if we're not careful, we can immediately react. And we can often react in the negative way. Because especially for some of us that have come from dysfunctional homes, you know, anybody that has that. But if anybody did, you know, you kind of have that reaction in a negative way. I want something in between that for you. Stop. Pray. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you. If you know anything about me, you know I can say something like, you know, right out of wherever. Sometimes it's profound when it's the Holy Spirit speaking. Sometimes it's like, what? What's going on with her today? The more we practice following the Holy Spirit and being obedient to that as Christ was, the more we change and grow. That's the new life you can have. So let's turn to Colossians 3, and you'll understand what I'm saying, I hope and pray. See, when we were raised to new life, hopefully we decided we're going to live for Jesus now, right? Jesus died for us. We live for him. And we want to live and be like him. Because when we show people, see, how are people going to really see Jesus, that Jesus arose from the dead? How are they going to see that and believe that? It's going to be through us, isn't it? It's going to be through you, right? So the only way people are going to know that Jesus is alive is by how you live. You have to show what God is like through you. You going to take on that challenge this morning for the next 40 days? Okay. All right. I can't wait to see. Colossians chapter 3. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven. where Christ sits at God's right hand in the place of honor and power. Let heaven fill your thoughts. Do not think about things down here on earth, for you died when Christ died, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your real life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all of his glory when he comes back. You're going to share in his glory. Verse 5, this is going to be our assignment for the next 40 days. Are you with me, church? Are you with Facebook folks, please raise your hand. Oh, good. All right, very nice. Okay, good. All right, good, good. Back, put your hand up. Okay, all right. Verse 5, so put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual sin, impurity, lust, and shameful desires. Don't be greedy for the good things of this life, for that is idolatry. God's terrible anger will come upon those who do such things. You used to do them when your life was still part of this world. We've all had that kind of a past in one way, shape, or form or another. I can admit to that. But now is the time to get rid of. You ready for the list? Now, what you can do, I'm going to make this a multiple choice for you. I'm going to be gentle with you this morning. Or not. When is the time? When? When? And what about tomorrow? That's another now, right? Okay, beautiful. Now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, which we could also call gossip. Whoops, that moved right over there. Got it. Mm-hmm. I think they picked theirs. And dirty language. Wow, I got the whole group on that one. Wow. Okay. Maybe I should say dirty language when you're driving, right? Okay. Verse 9. Wow, this is going to be a while. Okay. Don't lie to each other. Tell the truth in a gentle way, but tell the truth. Listen, it's always better to tell the truth, even when you've made a mistake. It's okay to do that. When you have people that are Christ-like, we can hear your truth. And even if you did something wrong, even to us, and you admit that, we will forgive you. And don't lie to God either, right? It's okay to tell the truth. Truth will set you free. So don't lie to one another. You've stripped off your old evil nature and all its wicked deeds. In its place. Oh, good. Listen, we got some stuff we got rid of, right? Did you pick yours? Okay, wait, I want to hear a little bit more now. Did you pick yours?
Yes.
Very nice. Facebook? Oh, very good. Okay, so. In its place. See, you have to replace some of those things with something new, right? I mean, those of us that grew up in rageful, angry homes, all we knew was anger. That's our go-to. When something went wrong, that's what we went to. I grew up like that. No matter what it was, anger. You're afraid, you get angry. You get hurt, you get angry. Something goes wrong, you're angry. That's not a way to be, is it? That's not a Christ-like way, is it? The only time God got angry is when people hurt one another. So we can't be angry. But here's the thing. If you don't know what to replace it with, what are you going to keep doing? The same old, right? We need replacements of things. So this is what the next 40 days are going to be about. So you know what you're getting rid of, right? Yep. You know what you're getting rid of, right? Yes, okay. And now you're going to replace it with these things. In its place, you have clothed yourself with a brand new nature. Christ's nature that is continually being renewed as you learn more and more about Christ. When you see what Christ did and how he behaves and what he says and what he does, the more you know about Christ over the next 40 days, the more you can be like him, who created this new nature within you. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised, uncircumcised, but very, very uncivilized, slave or free, gay, straight, whatever, but yeah, polka dotted, plaid, doesn't make any difference. Christ is in all that matters, and he lives in all of us. Since God chose you to be the holy people whom he loves, you must clothe yourself with. Are you ready for the replacements? So first you clothe on Christ, right? Right? You put Christ on. You study. You see what he's like. You ask God to help you through the power of the Holy Spirit to be more like Christ. Loving, caring, forgiving, merciful, gracious, tender, compassionate, empathetic, obedient to God. Here's what you're going to clothe yourself with. So now you get to pick some, okay? You ready to pick some more things? All right, beautiful, beautiful. How many are you going to pick? Thank you for telling the truth. Thank you for telling the truth. Okay, so you get 40 more days to pick the next one. And 40 more days to pick the next one. And 40, okay, all right. Well, that's one more than I thought you were going to pick, so. You doubled my expectations. Wonderful. So. Oh, dear. Clothe yourself with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and, here's one. I'm going to have to say it because I think it's mine. Patience. patience. Okay. Yeah. Whew. You must make allowances for each other's faults. God, can you give us a shorter list, please? You must make allowance for each other's faults and forgive the person who offends you. Wow. I tell you what, if you just bracket that one, you could spend the rest of your life learning how to do that. Just saying, some of us maybe. You must what? Very good. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must. There's a must in the Bible. Not if you feel like it on a good day. You must forgive others. The Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. If you want a better, more wonderful, God-like life, make forgiveness something you practice all the time. All the time, regardless of who the person is. Because then you'll be showing the world Christ. You will. And the most important piece of clothing you must wear is love. Love is what binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace. In peace. You're supposed to live in with everybody? Wow, just think. Just think if God's kingdom could come, right? God's kingdom really could come if we followed this, correct? Well, I don't know about what we're going to do around the world for this. I know what I want us to do as a church body that's hearing this message today. And for anybody that is listening to this, if you will truly take this to heart in your new life that Christ gave you. He died for you so that you could have a brand new life in God and be more like God and show others God and prove to the world that Jesus is alive because of the way you live, by manifesting all of these characteristics and values and principles that we see in the Word of God. Was this not Jesus? Was he not someone who had tender heart and mercy, humility, washing people's feet, going to the cross? He forgave others. Even while he was being beaten, in front of the cross, he said, "Father, forgive them." What an example to live by. And love is the message that is all encapsulates that whole thing. Love. Unconditional love. Not human love. Not the love that I'll love you if and when you. But I love you even though you. That's the kind of love that God has for us all. And we're to have for one another. And the last part of that. Always be thankful. So you have an assignment for 40 days. You excited? Ecstatic. I'm really happy about this. Here's what you can do. Your old life is gone. New life has begun. You can begin today to live a whole new life that's full of joy and peace and harmony. Even though the other people want to be in conflict, you don't have to be. You don't have to participate anymore in any of that. You can be more like Christ. And you can have a more fulfilling, pleasurable, peaceful life. Wouldn't that be awesome? Yes. And wouldn't you want to show that to other people? Doesn't the world need more of that? Oh, man. Love, peace. Wow. What the world could use. And the only world we sometimes have interactions with is one another. So we got to begin somewhere. Oh, by the way, it's okay to practice this at home. So here's the thing. Just think about these scriptures this morning, Colossians 3. And I guess you know what you're going to get rid of, which begins at verse 8. And you know what you're going to add to, which is verse 12, 13, 14, and so on, right? You have it in the bulletin there. It'll be up on the website. It'll be on Facebook. It'll be everywhere out there for you to remember what the scriptures were that God gave you this morning. Just think of it as making yourself a life casserole of spiritual blessings. Think about it. Now, you might just start with, I don't know, one thing. Kind of a boring casserole. It's just not, I wouldn't even call that a casserole at that point. But as you add more and more and more and more and more ingredients and you bake it in the oven, you're going to give that much more taste and flavor to others, aren't you? Through you. The most important ingredient, and I learned this from cooking recently, like this past week, a couple days ago. There's some really important things you have to put in certain foods. Like, you have to have a protein, evidently. I don't know. But in the scriptures, not to talk about my cooking, let's not digress. But the most important ingredient any of us have in our spiritual walk and in our Christian walk and our new life, the most important ingredient you must put in every single time, no matter what, to make it be flavorful and wonderful, put in love. Put in unconditional love. That'll be the foundation. And then you can add all a bunch of other stuff on top of it. Because then you'll have mercy. You'll have kindness. You'll have, right? That's how it works. So here's the cool thing. For the next 40 days, you can pick those things one at a time should it need be, because sometimes we need to start small. Sometimes it seems so overwhelming. I got to change all of these things, God. I don't know about you, but it's going to take me 40 days to just get patience under wraps here. And for those of you that are waiting for the sermon then, you're working on patience right now too. I understand. Mm-hmm. Is she done yet? Is she done yet? Is she done yet? I promise you this. You follow these scriptures. You allow the Holy Spirit to move in you and through you. Study about Christ. Learn of the kingdom of God. Learn about Christ's characteristics. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you this love that only comes from God. And then practice that, putting it into your life. See if it doesn't change you. And then certainly it's going to change the lives of the people around you, will it not? And people are going to say, what's different about you? What happened to you? Well, I was at this Christ the Cornerstone Church one of these Sundays, and I heard the word of God, and it touched my heart and my soul. And something happened inside of me, and I chose to change, to be more like Christ. Amen? Amen. Amen.